Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different law firms, and we dive deep into the marketing. Today's episode is the third of that series, and I interview Allie Elmunzer of Influencer Legal, based in Charleston, South Carolina. Allie has a virtual law firm helping business owners protect their business assets. And in this episode, Allie shares her education-first approach to marketing, as well as the channels that are generating the most clients for her firm. Listen in and get some ideas that you can apply to your business. And make sure to visit the show notes to get all the links mentioned in this episode. Allie, thank you for being here today. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I am thrilled to be here.
Yeah, so you've built this incredible virtual law firm, as I mentioned in your bio, helping small business owners with trademark registrations, trademark infringement, and monitoring and contracts. Can you start maybe by sharing a little bit more about why you think every entrepreneur should trademark their brand?
Yeah, of course. So I think the biggest misconception that comes with brand ownership and whether or not you need a trademark is a lot of people will say, well, I own the LLC, or I own the domain, or I have every single social media handle. Like, clearly I own the brand name. And that just unfortunately isn't true. You do not actually own your brand name until you have a registered trademark here in the US. So the US is a first to use jurisdiction. What that means is that, Lauren, if you and I started businesses with the same name, but you started 2 years before me, but I went to register the name, you would have rights as being the first to use, right? So in our case, it's not first to, you know, get the trademark registered, but you want to be first to use and be the first to register. Because what happens is if you and I, like I said, we're using the same business name and I got registration before you, but you have first to use rights, then it would be on you. Essentially, you would have to go to trademark litigation to get the name from me, even though you were using it first, right? So it's so important with, you know, the time, the effort, the goodwill that you build associated with your business and your brand name, that you actually legally protect it. Secondly, if you are a business that maybe you're not thinking about investors now, maybe you're not thinking about selling your company now, but that could always be an option. If you do not own the trademark to your business name, it is unlikely that you will be able to sell or get investors, because those are the first things they look for, right? No investor wants to invest in a business that doesn't own its intellectual property, right? They want you to actually have ownership of the name. And lastly, for most entrepreneurs, that trademark name makes up about 70% of your company value. So that's a little weird to think about, but the trademarks actually hold a lot of monetary value. Like, if you look at Nike, Amazon, Uber, like those names, the value of those trademarks is ridiculous. It's like more than you would ever imagine, like hundreds of millions just valued in the trademark itself. So it is super important to trademark your name, especially so, you know, just on the most basic level. So someone can't come in, use the same name as you, and cause brand confusion, right? Cause clients to go to them instead of you. It's just really good practice.
Yeah, I think
You know, it's so interesting because marketing a brand kind of goes in hand with trademarking it, because the last thing you want, if you've got done all this great work to get your brand out there, is to then have some sort of conflict on the back end related to trademarking. And I imagine it's quite expensive to go through trademark litigation if someone else is the first to register your brand name.
Exactly. And it's much less expensive to just upfront, you know, work with an attorney and get it filed. And I think what people don't realize is, like you said, they'll spend all this money, you know, $10,000 on their brand, their website. All that is gone if you don't have the registered trademark and someone comes in and says, hey, I have the trademark, or I was using that name first. Like, you want to make sure you do your due diligence before you invest all that money in the brand. So I love that you said they kind of go hand in hand, because that's very true. You know, if you wrapped trademarking in with the brand, you know, and website building and all that when you were thinking about it, then I think you would have like a more complete business, a more complete brand protection.
Yes. And let me ask you a question for anyone who's listening and thinking, oh, maybe I should just go do this myself. I don't need to hire an attorney. Can you maybe dispel that myth? Because I know there's a lot of ins and outs when it comes to trademarking.
Yes, for sure. So can you file a trademark yourself? Yes. There is no law, no rule that says you have to work with an attorney. That is, unless you are not a citizen of the United States, then you must use an attorney if you are a foreign resident. But if you are a US citizen and you want to file a trademark, then there's nothing that says you have to work with an attorney. But here's the thing. There are so many nuances, like you mentioned, when it comes to filing a trademark application. And doing the search. So the search is just something we do before we even file the application to make sure it's worth filing the application. Then what happens is, after you file that application, so you have to know what class of goods you're filing in. You have to provide an accurate specimen. You have to provide accurate descriptions. And I think that that sounds like, okay, I could figure that out. But if you do it incorrectly, what happens is you could get an office action. What an office action is it's when an examining attorney at the U.S. trademark office looks at your application and then says, oh, this is wrong. I'm going to bounce it back to you. You have 6 months to then respond to me, figure out what I said was wrong, fix it, and send it back to me. And that's a lot of times where people get tripped up and where you really want to have an attorney to work with. Now, I mean, it is all stuff that you can figure out, but I tell people this all the time. Like, I went to law school, you know, 3 years of law school studying this. I took 2 state bars. Like, I'm licensed in 2 states. This is what I do for my full-time job. So I always tell people, it's like, think about a website. Can you build a website yourself? Absolutely. Does that mean you should? Definitely not. So working with an attorney increases your chances of getting your trademark registration by 50%. So that's a lot. So it's worth the, and it's not a huge investment to work with an attorney. I mean, at least the way I run my firm with flat fees, because I work with entrepreneurs. So it's worth making that investment to protect your brand. You have to think big picture.
So helpful. And I think there's certainly ways to learn by doing, but I don't know that this is one area I would personally mess around in. If I were advising someone, I would just say, hey, go hire Allie. It'll be a lot easier, save you a lot of headache, and you have plenty of other things to focus on as an entrepreneur. You don't need to learn how to file a trademark.
No, exactly. Because it's probably not something you're going to do. Like, you may do it, you know, you may. Most people in their portfolio probably end up with about 3 trademarks. So it's not something you're going to be doing over and over and over again, right? So if you were going to, you know, do it 100 times, then yeah, maybe learning it would be important. But in this case, it's not. And if you, like I mentioned, start getting those office actions and you're not responding in time, like, a trademark now is taking 9 to 12 months to register without any issues. If you start adding these office actions, start having these issues, then you're looking at years and years before you get your mark. And it's just not worth it when you could get it done quicker working with, you know, a licensed attorney that does that day to day.
Right. Okay. So, you know, we've been talking a lot about trademarks, but can you share with our listeners a little more about the services and the courses that you offer through your virtual law firm?
Yeah, for sure. So since we have been talking about trademarks, I'll start with that. So I do full service trademarks, which means from the search all the way through to your registered mark. Now, I have two ways of doing this. And in my, you know, as far as I know, I'm the only firm that offers a VIP trademark day. And it's my favorite way to work with clients. But basically what we do is we take that day and we go from start to finish through getting your application filed. Now, not registered because it has to go through the government. And as I mentioned, they're very slow. But so basically we go through and in one day get your application filed, which is so awesome because you're just getting it done. Then I also have, you know, full service trademark services for people that, you know, are just like, I'm fine with going through the process. Usually takes 2 to 4 weeks to get that application filed. I also deal with monitoring. So after you have a registered mark, we basically monitor to make sure no one's infringing on that mark. And then I also work with clients on infringement matters. So unfortunately, you know, in the digital world, it is very easy for people to steal names, to, you know, be using the same marketing. I'm sure you see it. And so I basically will work with clients to help them stop that infringement. Now, on the contract side, I help people draft contracts if they need, like, say, a service agreement for their business and it's more specific, then I help them draft it from start to finish. I also work with people who have contracts that they need reviewed. So if someone from outside of their company sent them a contract, I help review it. And then I also have my legal contract templates. And what these are niche specific. So I have like for coaches or, you know, wellness providers or photographers. So these are niche specific contracts so that, you know, maybe entrepreneurs don't have the funds to hire me to draft a super custom contract. This gives them access to an attorney drafted contract at a fraction of the price. So I have those. And then I also have a course. It's called Unlocking Legal. And that's actually going to open back up in September. But what this is this is basically the course for when people say, like, on the legal side of things, I just don't know what I don't know. Right? You don't know what you need. You don't know what you're supposed to do. And this is for businesses that are just starting or growing and scaling. And basically it goes through the top 5 things that you need to have in your business to make sure you're legally protected. So those are my main offerings. I also, of course, do consults, you know, one-on-one legal business coaching. I do that as well.
Well, I just think that's such a comprehensive approach for any entrepreneur, meaning they can come to you and get the hands-on help with the trademarking or even hands-on help with contracts. But if they're not quite ready for that, but they know they need to go beyond like piecing something together from Google, which I imagine is a lot of what you see before someone works with you, you know, they can look at these templates and purchase one and then customize it for themselves. And I just think that's such a great way to empower the business owner to be a little more proactive about their about protecting their business legally. I don't know if you see this, Allie, but I see so many people think Google is enough.
Oh my gosh, that is like
contracts.
My biggest pet peeve, of course, because people just go to Google and they see a contract and they're like, oh, I can use this. But my thing is, you don't know where that contract came from. So you don't know if that was someone else like piecing together a Google contract. Another thing is that you don't know if it'll hold up in court. Like, you have no idea if those clauses, you know, if they're even relevant anymore. Like, I can tell you that I had a client come to me with a contract dispute and she's like, yeah, the client, you know, wants a refund. And so I'm like, okay, well, let me see your contract. What does it say? And she lived in New York. The client, I think, was in California. And then the choice of law clause, which is basically the clause that says where you'll litigate the matter, like where you'll go to court, was Miami, Florida.
Oh my gosh.
I said to her, and I'm like, where did you get this contract? She's like, oh, I got it off Google. And I'm like, yeah. Uh-huh, because now you're going to litigate in Florida. Like, you know, the goal was obviously not to get to that point, but all those little things that you wouldn't think of, you know, you may think that's just like base language. Okay, that's just how it is. Or you don't pay, you know, close attention. I don't expect attorneys to know, you know, everything about contracts. So that's why you want to be super, super careful where you get your contracts. You have to know the source.
Yes. And it only takes one problem to really regret, like, oh, I should have invested a little more time, or I should have hired an attorney to look over. And I think personally that going the extra mile up front and just having some peace of mind of, hey, this is buttoned up. I know what each of these clauses means. I understand who owns what. Like some, I often see copyright's a huge issue that I see a lot because people come to me with graphic design that they don't realize they don't own because the graphic designer is the one who created it and didn't, it wasn't a work for hire, you know, or brand photography. I mean, there's so many things that you just don't know or don't think about because you assume you're hiring someone to do a service for you and then you own it. Like that's a big problem I see a lot of people get tripped up on, or even your web developer can own the website, not you, because they've built it. So, and you could speak more to that than I could, but I just think your contract templates are such a great way to empower the entrepreneur. And then you can kind of help them customize it if they need that extra handholding.
Yeah. And I always tell people, like, I totally understand that spending money on legal stuff is not as fun, right? It's so much more fun to develop your brand and to invest in a website and do all that. But being proactive on the legal side of things will save you so much money down the road, because ignoring the legal, and then when it comes back to bite you in the, I don't know if I can say that, bite you, you in the can. Butt. Okay. Bite you in the butt. You know, it's going to cost you, I mean, it could be 10 times as much as it would have to just invest in the front. And I get that it's not fun, but being proactive is definitely, definitely worth it when it comes to the legal side of things. And I always tell every entrepreneur, when it comes to your finances, you should have a little bit of a legal budget. Maybe for the year, you know, you set a little bit aside in case you need to send a cease and desist letter. You know, in case you create a new program and you're like, this program name is awesome, I need to get it trademarked. In case you come up with, you know, like, COVID hits and you need to have COVID waivers now. Like you should, every entrepreneur should have at least a little bit put aside for legal every year. And then you have a little cushion. And so it doesn't feel like you're, you know, you have to pull from other fun stuff to invest in legal.
Yes, I love that. And I'm guessing that it's often overlooked if someone hasn't yet encountered any sort of legal issue or conflict or, you know, hasn't thought about legal beyond maybe trademarking. But I think that's a really proactive approach that I like. I think it's great advice for anyone listening. So Allie, let's say someone's listening and wondering, okay, I think I might need Allie's help protecting my business. When would you suggest an individual seek out your services? And maybe you could speak specifically to both trademarking and contracts.
Sure. Yeah. So when it comes to trademarking, I definitely see entrepreneurs do both. Now, I see people that are like, I'm starting this business. This is the name I'm using. Before I do anything, I want to get the process going for it being trademarked. And the attorney side of me is like, yes, 100%. Let's do it before you even out of the gate. Like, let's do it. But the entrepreneur side of me also sees the other side where it's like, you know what? I don't really know if this name is going to work. I don't know if this business is going to work. Not that I don't have faith in these entrepreneurs, but you know, there's always a time where you need to test the market and make sure you're going to be successful. And so sometimes people wait until that thing starts creating a revenue for them, and then they'll invest in the trademark. And honestly, I can totally understand both sides and either choice. I think if you're a big company, you have investors and you have money to spend on legal, then yeah, before you even get out of the gate, it's probably a good idea to just get those things trademarked right off the bat. If you're a smaller business and you say you have this course coming out and you think it's going to be your signature course, but it also might flop, then maybe waiting. Because remember, like I said, we're a first use jurisdiction. So even getting it out there to the public will give you first use rights. So it would be okay to kind of, you know, maybe do a launch and have those first use rights and then go ahead and trademark once you see that's going to be successful. On the contract side, I would say absolutely invest in contracts right out of the gate. Do not wait on those. Do not work with people on a handshake deal. Do not say, oh, they're my friend. You know, I had an interior design client that came to me and was like, this person was my friend and I didn't have a contract with them because I didn't think we needed them. And my response is like, yeah, I bet you're not friends anymore, right? Because a contract protects those relationships. Right? So no one can say like, oh, I thought you meant this. Like, no, you didn't. Here's the contract. It's $90 an hour. And that's what we agreed on, a minimum of 20 hours. Like, it's right here in writing. So it protects relationships as much as it protects you in business. So contracts right out of the bat, trademarks, I think you need to really look at, you know, kind of the state of the business and where you see it going and kind of analyze that timing on your own. I will say, back to the trademark thing, hiring an attorney to do an extensive search on the name to see if the name is available, like your Google search is just not enough. You looking on social media and saying, no one has it, I own the domain, that's not enough. Because like I mentioned, first use rights, someone may be using it and you don't even realize it. So maybe investing in an attorney before you start the business is a good way to kind of, you know, see whether that trademark will be even available. So
love that. And I think that really helps someone understand, where's my business at and which of these pieces do I need and am I ready for them? And I think I especially like your advice around trademarking, that there's two different possible paths you can go. And I appreciate that you recognize the entrepreneurial side of that, because sometimes people want to prove there's ROI on the back end of their brand before they're going to invest in a trademark.
Yeah. And I mean, I've done that myself. Like, honestly, I've had things that I'm like, okay, I'm just going to wait and see. And then you can kind of go from there once you see you're actually making revenue and it's worth the investment.
Yeah. And so that leads me to my next question is, you've had a few different companies and now you've had Influencer Legal for, I'm going to let you tell me how many years, but what inspired you to start your firm and when did that happen?
Yeah. So basically, I have been an attorney for, let's see, what are we in? 2021. Okay. So I've been an attorney for about 14 years now. And right out of law school, I was working at a law firm, and 2008 hit and I lost my job. And I was super excited because that whole time I really, really wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so my avenue to be an entrepreneur was through photography. So I started doing portrait wedding photography and created a business doing that. I eventually, you know, kind of transitioned into brand photography, working with other entrepreneurs. But during that whole time is when people would say, oh, you're a photographer, but you're an attorney too. Can I ask you this question? Can you look at my contract? And I was like, wait a minute, if all these entrepreneurs don't have access to an attorney that's like, you know, they can consider a colleague, someone that's at their level, someone that understands what they're doing, right? Understands the entrepreneurial world. Because I will tell you that, you know, the old white guy sitting at the law firm has no idea what an influencer on TikTok does, right? Like, so they, I was like, oh, they just need someone that understands and they need contracts that are right for them and they need to be protecting their brands. Like, I couldn't believe how, you know, the world opened up and how I had not realized that all these creative entrepreneurs were just kind of winging it when it came to law. So that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to transition away from photography. And this was in 2015. I'm going to transfer away from photography and I'm going to start to help these people on the legal side of things. And I really started with doing, you know, contracts and helping influencers. And then it's kind of evolved, you know, as any good business does, into, you know, more the trademarks and the contracts and just being kind of an overall legal business resource for entrepreneurs.
I think that's so amazing and such a great proof of concept story, and that, you know, hey, I made a pivot, but then everyone's asking me, you know, everyone I'm encountering is asking me for legal advice. I just think that it, you know, gives you a lot of confidence when starting your virtual firm that, hey, I know there's a need here. And I know that I can fill that need.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that for any, you know, entrepreneur out there, to think about and really take the time to listen to what your clients are asking you or what people around you are saying, or even if you're in a Facebook group, kind of looking around, like, what are people looking for? Like, where is that gap in the market and how can I fill it? And like this for you, Lauren, is so true. Like your business, your marketing, like all I hear people say is, how do I get more clients? How do I get more clients? So your firm is like the perfect fill of a need that, you know, that needs to be met. And so I think, you know, I'm assuming that not only did you have expertise in marketing, but I'm sure that you were listening, right? You were listening to what people said and what people needed. And I think a lot of times, you know, we really need to, as entrepreneurs, yes, there are certain things we want to do, and I do think we should pursue those and be happy in our business. That's why we're entrepreneurs. But we also need to listen to what people want, because truly, that's where the money's at, right? People want to pay you for something that they don't have a solution to. So if you can listen to your clients, listen to the market, and fill that, your success will increase like tenfold or more, right?
Yeah. And to be honest, it makes marketing a lot easier because you're not having to manufacture demand for something that people don't know they want or need. You know, exactly. I know there's always there's always a great story about Apple. Like, no one knew they needed an iPhone, right? But we're not all Apple. And marketing becomes a lot less expensive if you're filling a gap that's already there.
Oh, I love that perspective. And of course, you being in marketing thought of it that way. And I didn't even think of it that way. So it's like so interesting to hear that. And that's so true. Like, 100%.
Well, I think it's interesting, and maybe you see this on the flip side of the same coin, but because it's so frictionless to start a business online, I'm not saying it's easy to do or easy to grow, but because you can just buy a domain, put up a website if you want to DIY it, get the social media accounts, I think that people just assume, if I put my business online, then I'm going to get a bunch of business, right? And it's not necessarily as simple as that from a marketing standpoint. And I imagine similarly from the legal standpoint, just because you can put your business online quickly doesn't mean you're legally protected, even though there's all these great tools now to get the word out there about who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. The barrier to entry to starting a business is so, so low. And so many people are like, well, I registered my LLC. I got my LLC in my state. I'm good to go. And it's like, that's just unfortunately not enough. And that's the not so fun side of business, you know? So, I mean, it's totally true. The low barrier to entry is great. But then if you're not protecting yourself on the legal side, then you could end up in a lot of trouble. And it will make your business and starting the business and all the effort you put into it not even worth it. Because truly, like, one lawsuit can bring down, I mean, not to scare people or get all dark, but, you know, one lawsuit can bankrupt people. And we see that with businesses all the time, right? So you want to make sure you're careful. I mean, even like you mentioned with copyright stuff, I mean, copyright can cost you hundreds of thousands of fees. Like, it is serious. So, you know, just ignorance of the law is truly not an excuse when it comes to like copyright, especially.
No, unfortunately, by signing up, or fortunately, by signing up for being the business owner, you're also signing up for, hey, I have to educate myself on all of this stuff. And like you, I see a lot of handshake deals. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be a complicated contract, like one page, get something on paper so you know who's doing what, who owns what. But yes, anyways, I won't go on a rant there. But Allie, I do want to ask you, because I know this is often of concern when you're hiring an attorney, where you're based and where you can practice, is that of consideration at all for someone who might hire you for trademark services?
Yes. So trademark is governed by federal law. So what that means is that, are there trademark offices in every state? Yes. But when you hire me, you're hiring me to file your trademark application with the federal government, which means you get protection in all 50 states. So the requirements for the trademark office is that you must be licensed in at least one state in the U.S. in order to practice trademark law. So as I mentioned, I'm licensed in two, but anyone that's licensed in the United States in just one state can practice trademark law.
Okay. I think that's great to know. And then if someone wants to hire you for contract review, must it be in your state?
So for contract review, no, you can review a contract. However, if you're in a state like Texas, California, New York, those have very specific laws. And I will say for anyone, like, if you are going to hire an attorney for contract review, I think it's a good idea to hire someone in your jurisdiction, meaning in your state, especially for contract drafting too. So you would want to find an attorney, you know, if you're in California, that is licensed to practice in California. Now, if we're talking about the legal contract templates, that person does not have to be licensed in your state because it is merely a template. They're not custom drafting it for you. So they've included, you know, all the legal language, but then you will need to fill in certain aspects like what state you are in, what county you are in, your business name, etc. So you can use template from anywhere. That's why things like LegalZoom or Rocket Lawyer, I think those type of places, those document services, that's why those can exist as well.
That makes sense. And I think that's really great education for anyone who's listening. Okay. So Ali, I'd love to shift the interview a little bit and just talk about your entrepreneurial journey. So you've been doing this for 6 years. You shifted from brand stock photography over to a virtual law firm. You know, how you market your firm now, I'm assuming looks a lot different than when you first got started, but how do you get in front of new clients now?
Yeah. So I think that probably my main sources of marketing, of course, is word of mouth. And I almost hate when people give that answer because you're like, oh, that's so annoying. Like, that's not going to help me. I don't have word of mouth. But the way I started to get word of mouth was I would go to woman entrepreneur events here in Charleston, where I live now. And I met tons of people there. And those were my first clients. And those people told other people. And that's how it grew. But it was me putting myself out there and actually going to those networking events and actually just saying, this is who I am and this is what I do. With COVID, of course, that didn't happen a lot. I mean, there were virtual events, but what I do more so now, and I will pick that back up for sure because I just love connecting with other women entrepreneurs, but Instagram is my biggest generator. And I think the reason for that is because a lot of attorneys don't understand Instagram and social media. So the way they're using it is very blah, very boring. Whereas I'm like kind of piggybacking off my experience of photography and having a beautiful aesthetic and educating the clients. And so I think for me, my Instagram was kind of different. So when people, entrepreneurs would search trademark on Instagram, a lot of things would come up, but I would stand out because I looked different, right? And then they'd be like, oh, okay, well, you're a woman entrepreneur helping women entrepreneur. I want to work with you. So I will say that Instagram is probably my biggest lead generator. And then another thing is Clubhouse. I got on the Clubhouse train kind of early. I basically will do trademark rooms, basically Q&A, just informational rooms, obviously not legal advice, but informational rooms where I just kind of talk to people like we're doing here, Lauren, you know, where they might have a question on what's the difference between a trademark and copyright. So I would do that. And then people from that would reach out to me. So I would say that referrals and then Instagram and Clubhouse are probably my biggest lead generators. I also have, you know, the two podcasts, and then I try to have the blog, and then I try to just keep pushing content out like through Pinterest and stuff like that. So that's kind of my overall like lead generation strategy.
I love that. And I'm going to break apart a few different pieces, but first of all, I love the advice or the guidance you give on building a word of mouth network, because it doesn't happen overnight and it takes a long time to get your name out there. So I think it's really great for anyone who's listening that maybe earlier on than you, who's saying, oh, but Ali, I don't know anyone yet. Great, get out there. And there are a lot of online ways you can do that now. There's a great network I'm a part of called The Dames, and I think they're working on going national. They're based here in Denver, but they will literally, it's not just a female networking group where you show up to online events, but you tell them who you want to meet in the network and they will connect you with, you know, what they call power partners. So there's lots of creative ways I think you can start to network now and get the word out there about who you are and what you do that don't necessarily have to happen offline.
For sure. And let me say on that, that's something that for me that I think kind of made me stand out in that situation when people would work with me is that I was super responsive, right? So most people were used to lawyers that took forever to respond with them. I was like explaining things to them as they went along. So they didn't feel like they had no clue what was going on, so that their legal wasn't like totally out of their hands. I was educating them as they went along. So I think that I was just delivering my services in a different way. And I think anyone can do that. Like, we've all worked with someone that makes us feel kind of stupid, like, oh, why didn't you know that? Or this is just what we do. Or, you know, I think if we take the time to educate people and, you know, make them feel seen and heard, if we like understand that, you know, like when I send an email, I like to get a quick response, you know, like, and I'm not saying you have to respond to people at 10 at night, but within normal work hours, like just take the time to treat people, you know, how you want to be treated. And I think that that, you know, is a lot of times what makes a difference with word of mouth referrals that people don't realize.
Yes. And I will say, I think that's what's so brilliant for you about Clubhouse is being an easily accessible attorney who's going to answer questions, you know, and host rooms and provide all this free education, I think is so different from the traditional model and really stands out, not just on your offline channels, but on your online channels as well. And then your Instagram, I agree with you. It's so well done and stands out from what other attorneys do. Like I'm looking at it now and that you just do some great posts like that are so educational, but also entertaining. Like there's a post about, hey, did you know the May the 4th be with you is a registered trademark? And then you kind of walk through some background information on that. To me, it looks like you're making what might feel like a more dry topic for attorneys a lot more interesting and a lot more fun.
And that truly is my goal because I realize, like, trust me, I realize law is boring. There are times where I don't want to sit down and read a contract. Like, I totally, totally get it. But what the way I look at my Instagram, and I think that maybe if more people looked at their Instagram, I look at it as an extension of my website. So basically, I just look at it as kind of my blog, right? I want it to be someone can go there and I want it to basically validate that I'm an expert in the area they're looking for help in. So I'm not looking to get likes. I'm not looking for more followers. In fact, I don't expect all these people to want to follow an attorney. Like, I get it. You want to follow like this fun blogger that's sharing fall decor. Like, I totally get it, but I'm not going to not do it because I don't have like a million followers. Like, that's not my goal. My goal is when someone does a search for a business, a contract, or a trademark attorney, that when mine comes up, they say exactly what you kindly said to me. Like, oh, okay, you're making it fun. It looks pretty. Like, okay, this is someone that's committed to doing this. I would like to work with them. So that's the way I look at it. And when I talk to other attorneys, because so many other attorneys are like, well, how are you getting people on Instagram to hire you? And I'm like, because I'm just using it as an extension of my brand. I'm not using it for popularity.
And let's say you're featured somewhere like this podcast, it's a lot easier for a listener to go follow you on a social media channel and for you to stay top of mind than it is for them to remember your website 6 months down the line when they're like, oh, I heard Allie on Marketing That Generates podcast. Let me remember what her website is. Or I heard her on a podcast. I may not even remember it was the Marketing That Generates podcast. So yeah, I just think you're doing it really well. And I just love the educational and entertainment approach. And I think that's such an important mindset shift to move away from popularity because people do get caught up in those vanity metrics. And I don't really think that's what matters at the end of the day for marketing. If you're an influencer and you're trying to land brand sponsorships, that's a whole different thing. But for a service provider or a subject matter expert business, you're looking at your social media in a completely different way.
Exactly. And people are always like, well, how do I do it? My topic's so boring. I'm like, I think I'm taking the most boring topic. But like, if I was an accountant, and I know that there are some accountants that are, you know, doing it similar to the way I am, like when tax time comes or quarterly business taxes, or how do I like record this? Like I go to Instagram and I look for someone that has like educational information either to hire, or sometimes I can find the answer on their page. Like, how cool is that? You know, like, you need to definitely think of it as a resource. Even if you're in a boring industry, like I don't care if you're in car repair, like talk about different repairs, talk about how much they should cost, talk about why they cost that much. Like there is so much, not everyone knows everything about everything, right? So no matter what industry we have, you know, you're in, there's education to be had. So I do think that education, tips, you know, those are such a good way. I know that a lot of people be like, you can't grow on Instagram by providing education all the time. You're giving it all away. That hasn't been my experience at all. That has made me plenty of money by giving education and tips away. And so I think for, you know, quote unquote, boring industries, I think that's like a great way to do it.
It's so funny because I'm in this series, I've interviewed 4 attorneys and they're all like, we have super boring industries. And yet we still show up on social and we still find a way to do it in a fun, entertaining, educational, interesting way. So I agree with you. And I do think today the average buyer likes to be educated before they make their purchase. I think gone are the days where, for example, you sit in a doctor's office, your doctor tells you exactly what to do. You don't understand why he's saying that. You don't understand the ins and outs of why they're making that recommendation, but you follow it like blindly. I don't think that's how people purchase anymore. And so I think the more you can educate someone, the more sales ready they will be. And you can just speed up that buying cycle.
Yeah, for sure.
So Allie, you also have this great free consult that's on your website. And I imagine that it allows you to see, is this potential new client the right fit for me? And am I the right fit for them? Is that how you use that 15-minute consult?
Yep, 100%. So I am bound legally by the, you know, rules of ethics as being an attorney. So I can't hop on a free call with someone and give them legal advice. So what I use that call for is it's almost like a screening, exactly like you said, like, is this someone who wants to work with me? And, you know, are they someone that I want to work with? You know, basically learning more about what they actually need. Because sometimes, you know, law stuff is confusing. So people will come to me thinking they need one thing, but they really need another. So I use that call basically as, you know, just a screening call. And a lot of times people that want to, you know, that find me on Clubhouse will book a call and then we'll talk about their trademark. And then we move on to the next steps. And then like moving through the trademark process is pretty seamless because we've had that call. They know what to expect. So it really is a good way to, you know, just basically determine whether or not someone wants, you know, is going to be a good fit to work with me. And I think that so many people are scared of getting on the phone. Like they're like, oh, I don't want to do sales calls. And you see like these big time coaches being like, oh, I booked someone for 10 grand in my DMs. Like that's what you want to do. And it's like, you know what? We all can't do that. Okay. Like, so I literally pick up the phone, call the consult and we chat for 15 minutes, like totally old school. And you're not cold calling someone, like they signed up to have an appointment with you. So it's not a cold call. It's not scary. You chat with someone for 15 minutes. You don't need to do Zoom. You don't need to record it. Like just get on the phone and just chat. And it's 15 minutes of your time and you can figure out if that person's going to be a client or not. And I also think speaking to someone one-on-one is a much better way to not convince them, but to explain to them the value of your services. And if someone is getting on a call with you, they're a pretty warm lead. Like that's usually a really warm lead. Like, do I have people that just like are trying to get free legal advice? Of course. But usually the majority of people are like pretty much ready to go. They just want to speak to me. They want to know my availability. They just want to like make sure they are making a good investment essentially. And so yeah, the consult for me is like my number one way of kind of vetting people. And it is a sales call, I guess.
Yeah. And I think I love your pushback a little bit on that, like sell a 10K package in DMs, because I don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if that's always enough to vet a potential client. If you're selling something higher ticket, meaning not like a $99 workshop, but where there's an ongoing engagement, like there's just so many things to make sure that it's the right fit for you and you're the right fit for them, especially if there's a lot of nuance to your service. And I too sell through sales calls. I don't do anything in DMs. I'll have conversations in DMs, sales conversations, but I ultimately always get on the phone with someone because what I'm doing is very nuanced and I want to make sure that I really understand the problem the client's facing. I'm the right person to solve the problem because sometimes I'm not. And I imagine for you, it's very similar. And I really appreciate that you push back a little bit on that and share that with our listeners.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we all wish it could be as easy as possible, but I do see a lot of times actually people that come to me with clients that want refunds. They're like, oh yeah, they just like, I never met them. They just signed up online. Like, and so exactly what you're saying, like, you know, sometimes people do need to be vetted. Sometimes, you know, they sign up and it's not what they expected or whatever. So I do think it's an important part of the process, at least for me.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you about that for like, it's not like DMs really lend themselves nicely to like, here's my contract, please go sign it and read through it, you know?
Right.
But, you know, I do think there's a place for selling in DMs for specific products, specific services. So it's not to say it's always bad, but I love that you have a free consult, and 15 minutes is so doable. You know, you're not spending an hour giving free advice. You're just saying, do I understand your problem, and am I the right person to solve it? Okay. And then, Ali, you also have these two great podcasts. I assume this is a great way for you to provide even more education to your prospective clients and stay in touch with them just like you do on social media. Is that right?
Yeah. So I have The Inspired Entrepreneur, which I'm not currently releasing new episodes of now, but basically that podcast is like this. It was me talking to other entrepreneurs to basically get a glimpse into behind the scenes of other people's businesses and how are they, you know, doing their marketing and how are they using social media and how are they getting clients, you know, all those little tips and tricks. You know, it's always fun to see behind the scenes of people's businesses. And so I was doing that. And then I just kind of felt like I wanted to, exactly like you said, provide more education. And I didn't want to just ramble on that podcast. So that's when I started the Law and the Business podcast. And that's basically just me, myself, doing short little episodes, 10, 15, 20 minutes, just whether it's on trademarks, copyrights, contracts, business. You know, I love talking about business. I love empowering woman entrepreneurs to pursue their dreams. So it may be about, you know, I don't know, busting limiting beliefs, you know, like just different things that just didn't fit with the initial podcast. So that's why I created the new one. But yeah, so I have those two. And so I just love podcasting. So
I think it's such a great way to provide on-demand content. You know, there's a lot of webinars and stuff that people will attend live, but we can't always attend live. And so if I can, you know, listen for 7 minutes to episode 2, your questions to ask before hiring a trademark attorney, like I can do that while I'm doing the dishes. I can do that while I'm out for a run. Like there's, you know, and you're in my ears and it's a very intimate conversation. So I just think it's so fabulous and such a great way for you to dive deeper than you could, for example, on social media.
100%. And with my podcast, Inspired Entrepreneur, that was born out of, I was like lonely. I wanted to talk to other entrepreneurs, you know, like I work at the office alone. I mean, I have a virtual team, but you know, you're alone and it's, I just wanted to have conversations with other people. And so, you know, that kind of was part of it, you know, like just building a community around, you know, just learning about each other's businesses and encouraging each other and supporting each other.
Yeah. And there's that quote that a rising tide lifts all boats, right? I think having a community of like-minded business owners around you where you can go to when you have a question or when you're facing a certain situation is just such a powerful tool at your disposal. And you can also in turn serve them.
Yeah, 100%.
So Ali, I really appreciate you sharing some of the behind the scenes of your business, as well as educating our listeners on ways they can work with you. If you had to leave our listeners with one piece of advice about growing and marketing their business, you've had a few different businesses yourself, what might that be?
My biggest thing is consistency. Just stay focused on what you're doing and be consistent with it. So don't, you know, chase every shiny object you see. Don't just follow, you know, switch and do something else because you're seeing someone else have success with it. Like, no, you know your business, you know what you're doing, stay in your lane and focus, focus, focus. When I wanted to build my trademark business, I was like, all I am going to do is talk about trademarks until I am like blue in the face. And that is all I did. And that generated me like unbelievable, awesome clients. You know, I had more clients than I knew what to do with. I had to hire an outside firm to help me. Like, and it was because I was focused. Like, was it working at the beginning? No, I wasn't seeing anything, but that consistency, that momentum, that piles up. So just keep going. Do not say, oh, I did Instagram for 2 weeks and nothing's happening. Like I don't have 1,000 followers. It doesn't matter. Keep going, keep going. Focus on one thing and go, go, go. I just think that too many business owners get distracted by like the Instagram feed and scrolling and seeing what other people are doing. And, oh, I I need to have content everywhere. So I need to hire all these people. It just, there's so much. Just pick your lane, pick your marketing channels, focus and stay consistent.
Yes, I love that. I'm going to like just repeat this back to pull this excerpt and repeat this back to clients when they're like, what about this new shiny channel?
Yeah.
Or when people ask me, I think that's such great advice. And I just want to highlight that it takes time. Like you mentioned, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to build that momentum.
So much time. Yeah. It really does. So much time.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not like Amazon Prime where something's delivered the next day, for, you know, and wrapped in a pretty package. It takes time. It takes hard work. It takes some experimentation because not everything you do right out of the gates works the way you expected it to.
Yep. That has been, and honestly, I've come to that conclusion through experience. Like I cannot tell you how many times I have shiny object my business. Like I just see something. Oh, this is the thing. This is the thing. It's going to bring me $1 million a month. This is it. No. Oh, it must be this thing. Like, cause it's just so in our face, you know? So I think if that starts happening to you in your business, you start seeing all these things, like turn off the internet, turn off the social media, come back to your business, take a good hard look at what's generating you the most profits. What do you want to grow in the business? And then just create a plan around that for you of what is going to grow that part of your business. What is it that you need to focus on and do? Like, don't look at outside things. You're a horse with blinders. Like, just look at your business.
That is just amazing advice. Thank you, Allie. So where can our listeners go online to learn a little more about you?
Yeah. So my website is influencerlegal.co. And the best place to connect with me and, you know, find any information you might need. And, you know, you can schedule a consultation through there is my Instagram. And that's at Attorney Allie. And it's A-L-L-I is Allie. So at Attorney Allie. And I'm pretty much that across all the platforms, but Instagram is the best place to connect with me.
Wonderful. And both of those links will be on the show notes. So make sure to check those out. Thank you, Allie.
Thank you so much for having me, Lauren.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.